Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday, May 28th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments. I am Senator Dianne Rosenbaum, the chair of this committee, and I'm very, very pleased to see such a standing room only crowd of wonderful, talented Oregonians here to be considered for all these positions. So I will just briefly explain our procedure here, and then we'll go ahead and get started. We will call you forward if you're being appointed to a position and you're the only person, we'll call you by yourself. If you're being appointed to a board and there's two or more, we'll call you all together. We'll ask you to tell us very briefly a little about your background that relates to the position and why you want to serve in this capacity. As you can see, we have a lot of people to hear from and a lot of very, very important positions. So we will then open it up for questions from the members of the committee, all of whom are here except for Senator Farioli, who will be here shortly. I will introduce Senator Lee Beyer from Springfield and Senator Jenny Burdick, the other members of the committee, and Vice Chair Senator Ted Farioli will be with us shortly. So without further ado, I will open a public hearing on the appointment of Sean Robbins as the director of the Oregon Business Development Department. I'd like to come forward and kick things off.
Happy to.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. Senators, I'll be brief. I'll try to give you my entire life background in under 2 minutes. I'm honored to be here today. It's, quite frankly, it's humbling to be here. I'm grateful to the governor for this opportunity. And I'll take just a few minutes and skip the resume portion of my background and give you a little bit of the taste of why I'm interested in doing this work and a little bit about the high points on the background of where I come from. My background by the bullet points is a business degree in economics, urban and regional planning master's degree, all from the Midwest, born in Wisconsin. Moved to Oregon with my wife and 2 children 3.5 years ago for this opportunity to be the CEO and president of Greater Portland, Inc., one of the state's regional economic development partnerships, a public-private partnership. Throughout my career, I have been focused on working for the benefit of the public good. And in my own family's economic story, I have found that intersection to be at the corner of economics and government and community development. My grandfather was born into northern Wisconsin as a one of 12 siblings, educated through the 8th grade in a small town of Anago, Wisconsin, was so poor that they had to ransack the landfill for clothes, and eventually ended up enlisting in the U.S. Army in lieu of going to jail to serve in World War II in North Africa. And one of his sons, my father, was the one brave enough to go to college, and at that time was unprecedented in my family, especially a family from northern Wisconsin. And the reason I'm telling you that is that one of the things I think that happens in economic development is that we spend a lot of time talking about rankings and averages and statistics and incomes and job growth and percentage changes, and we sometimes, as economic developers, forget the humanity of what we're doing. This is fundamentally about improving the lives of families, children, and that you do that through the economic fortunes. We talk a lot about wanting to have great transportation, public safety, great schools. All of those things are bought and paid for by a thriving economy. And so I do what I do in large part because I believe that for my own 2 sons who are 7 and 5, and for a lot of the other families that are probably in this room who come from similar circumstances and backgrounds, that economic development provides a pathway to improve the lives of families, in this case for the people of the state of Oregon. So without that background, without that, it's important, I think, that you understand why I do what I do. Now, from a business perspective, my background was commercial real estate and development, managed a $500 million real estate development company portfolio in Madison, Wisconsin, became the executive vice president of the Regional Economic Development Partnership in Madison, Wisconsin, and then came to Portland as a CEO and president of Greater Portland, Inc. And in that work, we've been focused on retention, expansion of existing companies, as our first and foremost priority, targeted recruitment thereafter as a secondary priority, startups and innovation, international trade and global exports as part of that. And one of the things that you'll hear from me, and I'm happy to share more about you with you in the question and answer period, is a firm belief in that we have to grow our own for economic resiliency and growth. For a long time, economic development was about recruitment and marketing. The fact is the data supports that 70 to 80% of the job growth that occurs in the average American community comes from the companies and the businesses that are already here. And that's a very important point going forward as we think about how to take advantage of Oregon's recovery and actually bend the curve so that it accelerates even faster. So with that, I'll conclude my 2-3 minutes of opening testimony. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have for me. I am truly honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli. We have just started with our first appointee, and do we have any questions for Mr. Robbins? Yes, Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sean, welcome.
Thank you.
I was pleased to see your background in the rural areas of Wisconsin and your background coming out of the private commercial source. I think that's a good grounding for doing economic development programs, understanding I spent about 25 years in this business. So
thank you.
Your business. So I have know a little bit about it, but... one of the things that I'd like to address, not necessarily now, but I'll just tell you, I'd like to talk with you another time. There's a tendency to think that the same strategies that work in metropolitan Portland are going to work in Ontario or Bandon. My experience is that's absolutely wrong. You have to have different strategies. And that's just something to think about, and I'd like to chat with you sometime about that.
I agree 100%. This truly... And one of the things you'll see early on is that we're going to go out through the summer into the fall, if you will confirm me, to begin convening sessions with the regions, the regional solutions centers, using them as a boundary area to start, and to begin to take the work that's already been done in those areas that have identified their regional priorities for economic development and incorporating those into the work plan of Business Oregon. There is no one-size-fits-all. It has to be from a region-up perspective as an agency for us to execute well. That includes business development, trade, exports, infrastructure, you name it. There has to be a meeting of the middle, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Other questions? Yes, Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for reaching out to me before today's hearing. I really appreciate it. And one of the things I especially appreciated hearing then and today is about really kind of placing the emphasis on existing businesses and growing the businesses that we have already as the foundation of our economic development strategy. And I was just wondering if you could offer any expansion of that or maybe some specifics that you've thought of, the kinds of things that you're thinking of in that area.
Well, oftentimes, I'm happy to, and this is an in-depth conversation that we can continue, I'm sure, at another time, but and if you look at a world in which we live where there's limited dollars, limited energy, and limited time, we have to put those into places where you get the most ROI, and that's clearly business retention and expansion. And you can't have a business that leaves the state of Oregon or gets courted by another state outside of Oregon who says that I haven't been in contact with my officials from the state, and we don't have a relationship with them. So the first and foremost is a one-on-one relationship between the state and these companies to build that so that when the time comes for there to be business adjustments and changes, that the state is in a proactive position to respond, not react. Second, and I think this is true of the recruitment strategy that ties into business retention and expansion, we ought to be going to the companies that make up the traded sector portfolio of the state and asking which consolidation opportunities are there outside the state of Oregon to bring into Oregon. Instead of being a shotgun, we need to be a rifle. And we need to be going after those companies who have footprints in places like a Georgia, a California, when they make a purchase, and be able to go to those CEOs and those businesses and ask them, we want to keep and retain you here, and we want to do that by helping you expand your locations here within the state of Oregon. What do we need to do to get in front of that to help make that happen? That's a very different strategy than sort of raising your flag to the world and saying generally, hey, we're open for business. We need to be very surgical, very targeted about how we go after those opportunities, and I think there's an opportunity to connect recruitment to business retention and expansion.
Thank you.
Other questions, Senator Farrioli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Recruitment is always the more glamorous than the retention. And when we talk about business, people nimbly hop over the largest economic sector outside of the metropolitan area, which is agriculture. And a key sector is cattle ranching. And the folks that are producing that leading product in Oregon are facing management for the sage-grouse, potentially devastating rural economies in 26 counties of 36. So I'm just dying to hear about your strategy for sage-grouse management. Because if you don't have one, you're wasting your time trying to patch something back together after it's been devastated.
I don't have a strategy for the sage-grouse, I'll be completely direct with you. But one of the things that I hope to be able to do over the first few months is meet with you and all of the legislature in their districts, in their hometowns, with businesses, to mine for that data, where we need to be, what we need to be focusing on, and prioritize that within the agency, and then work interagency to be able to help expedite those issues. And if it's a strategic issue that we can make a difference on as an agency, then we want to be aware of it. And agriculture, to your point, is an incredibly important sector to the state of Oregon. So is rural Oregon. And one of the things we have to do as an agency and as a state is have a very clearly articulated, focused, and realistic strategy for the rural economic development of the rest of Oregon outside of the metro areas. That's one of the things that I hope to be able to accomplish as we go around to all 11 regions and be able to knit those regional priorities into the agency's business plan going forward, so that each region sees its priorities reflected in the work plan that we're putting together, and we're putting that together every biennium with an intermediate update in the off years, so that we can track how we're doing with what the regions said were important and what we as a state collectively have said are important to all the regions. And if that includes the sage grouse, then we'll have a chat about that.
Madam Chair.
Additional question?
thank you for that. That is as perennial as a Rose Festival speech, but I appreciate the sentiment. this is a geopolitical question that has everything to do with your ability to do the job. How many senators east of the Cascades and south of Roseburg are there from the state of Oregon?
I don't know.
Well, there are four, and that's the landmass involves three-quarters of the landmass of the state of Oregon. So I would expect you to be spending a proportional amount of time talking to people in those communities about how economic development in the state of Oregon is an abject failure outside of the metropolitan area.
Thank Will you. Do. And I hope you don't get sick of seeing me.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli.
I'll take that bet now.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli. This obviously is an extremely important position, probably the key position other than the governor himself as far as being the face of economic development, business retention, expansion, and job creation in Oregon. I just wanted to ask you very briefly if you could comment on the role of workforce preparedness and how that's going to fit with the work and the outreach you want to do. This morning, Senator Burdick and I, who sit on the Revenue Committee, heard a revenue forecast that was generally rosy, but also included the fact that many, many Oregonians are underemployed. They're overqualified for the jobs that they can get. Do you see workforce, the whole area of workforce training, as an integral part of what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, you cannot have a modern economic development strategy and not touch on talent and workforce. Clearly. And even though as an agency we're not particularly tasked with that area, it would be foolish for us to ignore it and pretend that somebody else is on first with it. So there has to be that interagency collaboration with counterparts and the Employment Department and others, workforce investment councils throughout the state, community colleges, technical colleges, in order to align the needs of industry with what's going on in the workforce. And, you know, one of the things that you see nationally is that this is not just an Oregon issue. This is a national overall workforce issue, a skills mismatch issue that is becoming an increasingly important problem to be able to solve. And if there were a magic bullet for it, we would have figured out and done it. But one of the things that has to be done is truly to be able to align what's happening inside industry and the key traded sector industries that we've said as a state we want to prioritize, and the workforce that we're producing out of it, not just the colleges and four-year institutions, but the community colleges, the continuing education for adults and retraining programs, to make sure that's aligned. And I think that's we're gonna have to say there are some things we can't afford to do, but there are things that are the highest priority that we are going to do in order to advance those priorities. That's certainly not our job at Business Oregon, but it certainly influences our ability to be successful as an agency in selling the state of Oregon around the world. And so we're going to have to work with our partners very closely to do that.
Great. Thank you. I don't see any other questions for you, so thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to acting on your appointment, as well as all the others we'll be hearing from at the close of today's hearing. So thank you for kicking this off.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
And I'll close this public hearing. And just for the benefit of the audience, we took a little more time with this appointment because it is a full-time agency head. I think I can assure you that we will not ask every single person in the room about the sagegrass, and we'll try to move a little more quickly as we move forward. So next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Jerome Colonna to the State Board of Education, if he'd like to come forward. And after we hear from him, we'll be hearing from Melissa McCribbins and Robin MacArthur, so you can be ready. And did I open this hearing? Yes. Please go ahead. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Rosenbaum and Senator Beyer, Ferrioli, and Burdick. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here before you. I come from Bend. And
I should have said at the outset, just start by saying your name.
The name is Jerome Colonna, and I am a nominee for a position on the State Board of Education. I have spent the last 44 years of my life in public education as a teacher and a school administrator, district administrator, and my last position before retiring 3 years ago was superintendent of the Beaverton School District. I've had a chance to serve on a number of boards that would help qualify me for this position and commissions. I was the chair of Teacher Standards and Practices, on the Executive Committee, on the Association of School Administrators, and was president of the Confederation of School Administrators here in Oregon. As a result of that, I have found that in retirement, I feel as though I have a background that I can bring to the State Board of Education that is maybe different than those who are there now. It's my understanding that the members of the board now do not have school administrative experience or superintendent experience, and I think that's a necessary component to be considered on the full state board. In addition, my feeling is, and I think it's the same as yours, you believe, like I do, that community and public service is a really high calling. In fact, it's my belief that the greatest rewards in life come from doing good things for other people, hopefully on a daily basis. And I found, as a person in the public sector, especially as a superintendent, I had multiple opportunities every single day to do that. And so, as a possible member of the State Board of Education, I would feel that same opportunity making itself available. I would like to leave my small part of the planet a better place. I'd like to be all used up when I pass away. I want to be in retirement active and making commitments and making opportunities available for especially children of color and those living in poverty to have a better future. There are two areas that I'm particularly interested in to work on. I know that This is a four-year assignment, if I would be granted to move forward. One of them is stable and adequate funding of public education in our state. I think that stable is absolutely as important as adequate is, and as a school district leader, the inability to predict forward, to put together things like strategic plans and funding patterns for hiring and technology and so forth, was quite difficult. And as you know, many districts in the state now go to bonds and local option levies in order to complete what they would like to in terms of not having adequate or stable funding. The other area that I'm particularly interested in is having school districts, schools, states, and our nation have an overall stronger and more rigorous and competitive and career and college-ready public education system. And I do believe a rigorous national standards would be a great assistance in that regard. So those are a couple of areas of my interest, and I'd be open for any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for Mr. Colonna? Okay, I don't see any, but we appreciate your willingness to serve in this important position. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. And thank you again.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Melissa McCribbins and Robin MacArthur to the Land Conservation and Development Commission. If you'd both like to come forward, and after we've heard from them, we'll be calling Marty Perez and James Sager. So please be ready. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and I think by now you know what we're doing here. We would like to hear from you both very briefly about your background and why you would like to serve on LCDC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Melissa Cribbins, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and to be considered. I had to think about what you don't know about me from my resume, and I was born and raised in rural Oregon. My husband and I like to affectionately say that we've had the greater rural Oregon tour. We lived in Myrtle Creek, Coos Bay, Pendleton, Winston, Cottage Grove. So I've seen a lot of Oregon. I love rural Oregon. I've also lived in Portland. I think I bring an interesting perspective to the different areas of Oregon. I'm currently a county commissioner. I'm also a licensed attorney. I worked for the Coquille Indian Tribe prior to my election, and so I have the perspective that what we do in Oregon matters. And what we do matters for generations, not just for today. And as far as I'm concerned, that's one of the most important viewpoints that I could bring to LCDC. And I appreciate the opportunity to be heard here today. And I see that you have a lot of people waiting. And so I will leave it at that and ask if you have any questions for me. Thank you.
I think we'll hear from both of you first, then we'll open it up.
Great. Thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I'm Robin MacArthur. I live in Portland. I am in Senate District 18 and House District 36. I want to thank you very much for the chance to say a few words today. I'll also make my comments brief. What I'd like to do is to offer three reasons why I think I can make a positive contribution to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, to the department, and the state of Oregon. The first reason, and probably the most important one, is that I have a strong background in this area and the topics that the Commission deliberates on. I have a master's in urban and regional planning and an undergraduate degree in natural resources. And I have over 30 years of experience working in various levels of government in the state on a number of topics, including land use, transportation, economic development, and housing. I've worked at the state level, the regional level, and the local level. I've worked the zoning counter. I've managed urban growth boundary decisions. I have worked in transportation for the Oregon Department of Transportation. And consequently, I have, I think, a good experience as a practitioner on how the land use program works in communities around the state. And that leads me to the second reason why I think I can make a positive contribution. With that background, I would like to work with the Commission and the Department to continue to evolve the program in a way that really helps communities throughout the state prosper, become vibrant, and also protect our ag and natural resources. I'm passionate about communities. communities, and I think each and every community in the state is really individual, and as a result, they face very unique development issues and opportunities. And I believe it's the role of government to provide an array of services and tools to jurisdictions to help them prosper. The third and final reason really is that I am very enthusiastic about Oregon, and I think I was probably born with a public sector bone because I've given a lot of my career toward public sector issues, and I think that with my background and my interest and my enthusiasm, I believe I can make a positive contribution. So thank you again for letting me speak today, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you both for your willingness to serve. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to ramble a bit, and then I'd like you both to address a little bit.
Of course.
In my other committee that I chair, Business and Transportation, one of the things that we've been working on a lot is trying to provide opportunities for businesses to locate and expand in the state, industrial lands. We've had a number of studies that suggest that we have significant shortages, primarily of large lots. And a lot of times, it's my experience working with planning a lot, that when we do the studies of supply, the balance, that we end up saying, oh, we have this great volume of industrial lots, we don't have a shortage. But when you look at it, we have a lot of very small, but we don't have places for the next Intel or Rosebrook Forest products or what have you. So that a little bit. The other piece has to do with the system. I've spent a lot of years as a planning commissioner and working around the system locally, so I understand it. But one of my concerns is, as a strong supporter of Oregon's land use system, I think we've gotten overly bureaucratized, and I think we've gotten a little out of balance. One of the things that I've observed is that there are a number of communities in the state that have gone through the UGB expansion process, and it's literally cost them millions of dollars to get through it. And at a time when budgets are tight and we don't have enough, you know, funds to have police and fire departments and so forth, I think we need to get a rein on that in terms of how do we make that process, the updating of plans, better. How do we make it more cost-efficient and better than that? And the other one is just, this is more of an attitudinal issue. I think the role of the state system, the goals, as we set goals that communities should use in addressing those, and I think your role as commissioners are, as you see those documents come forward for acknowledgement, is to say, did they address the goal? Sometimes I've gotten the impression reading the cases and the decisions out of the commission that it's gone beyond and said, not did you follow the rules, but more, we don't like the way you decided it. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about that in deference to local choices by local elected officials and local communities. So I've rambled on long enough. So there's a lot to talk about there.
Well, I could start, Madam Chair.
And it would help our staff if you'd just identify yourself briefly again before you...
I'm Robin MacArthur, and Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, I think those are all really good questions. They're very involved answers, and you have a lot longer experience in economic development per se than I, but in terms of the land use program and a supply of industrial land, that's a really important aspect of the land use program, not just industrial development, but any kind of economic development. And what I don't have experience in other parts of the state, but in the Portland metro area, we worked very hard to figure out doing a land use inventory of our industrial land with the express purpose of looking at the small parcels, inventorying those with the idea of trying to working with those property owners to consolidate and make larger lots where we can. And even when we expanded the urban growth boundary in the Hillsborough area, when I was planning and development director of Metro, we specifically did a large lot inventory to make sure that when we expanded the boundary, we were able to accommodate the potential need for that land. And so that was your first question, I think, about industrial land. Mm-hmm. You also have questions about infrastructure, I believe, and it's just as important to have infrastructure serving land to be developed as the land supply, and it's really important for to work with jurisdictions to figure out what kind of industry they are trying to attract so that the right kind of land in the right place with the right infrastructure can be put in place.
Well, the other piece of that was, how do we make the system less expensive and more efficient for local governments?
I, think that's a really important question, especially as many of the plans have been in place for a number of years and need to be updated, and I believe the department is focusing on that. I believe there's efforts to look at that. I think it goes beyond. I think we need to provide more resources for local jurisdictions, but I do believe there's work to try to streamline the urban growth boundary expansion process that's being headed by the governor's office and the department. That's a really important effort.
Yeah. And Ms. McCribbins, did you want to?
Yes, Melissa Cribbins. You know, that's a problem that we struggle with in Coos County, too, lack of shovel-ready developable land to a certain size where it's actually usable. And I think probably a lot of the other rural counties deal with that issue, too. It's difficult to have those lands ready and to have them in a state where we can attract business when business is ready to come. I applaud you for your years on the Planning Commission. That is not... that's not a job where you get a lot of thank yous or a lot of people bringing you cookies and thanking you for your service. But I know it's a tough job and it's an important job, and I appreciate people who do it. We need to work on making this process navigable. And in many ways, I bring that up because it's the same thing. LCDC does this for the municipalities, you know, the local governments, but we also do this at the lower level for people that are trying to develop their land. And it's something that I think everybody struggles with, is making this process navigable and understandable for people and making sure that the answers that they receive will be predictable. People want to know what to expect when they go in front of any sort of hearings body. They want to have the idea that they know what the behavior will be and what they will expect. And I think, as Robin mentioned, that's something that LCDC is working on and something that I applaud their efforts on. Yes, I'm sorry. And as far as... That was all I had for your questions. Thank you.
Sorry.
Great. You made me nervous.
Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think both of you have spent a good portion of your lives in knocking about the land use planning process, and undoubtedly you've been exposed to and maybe have formed some opinions about the idea of regionalizing Oregon's land use planning system. There are either nine Oregons or two, or depending on which article you want to read. Just in Malheur County, for instance, it's 90% public land. The population density is less than a third of a person per square mile. Open space is not an issue. Would like somebody to kill some of the open space. And yet, when you go and look for shovel-ready opportunities in the cities there, you don't find a suitable and available inventory of land that meets the 20-year planning threshold, the horizon. But what you do find is people who own businesses in Oregon and live in Idaho because they cannot get a suitable dwelling for a business owner inside the UGB, and the UGB expansion is years away, if not a decade away. Have you formed any opinion about regionalization of Oregon's planning and land use system to accommodate the almost unfathomable differences between the urban population in the Willamette Valley and the rural a population density that doesn't even meet the definition of frontier? Have you formed any opinions about regionalization?
I have not formed any opinions about it. From the other side, we're always looking at regionalization as a way to save money, to provide better service on a level. The concern is always that you will take away some level of local control if you regionalize, but pushing it down from the state into regionalization in the local areas is an interesting idea, and one that it seems would serve some of the counties, especially that have the lower population densities. I think it's an interesting idea. I appreciate you bringing it up. Thank you.
I'm Robin MacArthur again.
I was Melissa Cribbins.
And my staff has actually told me you don't need to do that.
So. Okay.
Okay, great. Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farioli. I have thought a little bit in the past, my past lives, about regionalization, and I think, I guess I need a clarification if you mean if the program should be flexible enough to work in different environments at different local levels as opposed to creating regional governments. I think that's what you meant. Is that a correct tax statement or...
It is. In our current configuration with the Land Use Board of Appeals, we have a centralized top-down system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Washington State has a population threshold for the application of land use planning laws, and the population in some counties in eastern Washington, they are not subjected to the same level of land use protection that the more dense King County area would be. So there's some flexibility in regionalization there. Just wondered if you've ever given that thought.
Well, I think the department and the state have looked at that in terms of there are very particular economic interests in various parts of the state that are not the same. The communities are unique. And the one-size-fits-all doesn't work. I think the regional solutions that was put in place several years ago is an attempt to address those local changes, those local needs. And also the department has done some work on having different standards for and regulations for urban growth boundary expansions to address smaller communities and things like that and their particular needs and the growth and how fast they grow. So I think there are attempts to do that. I think I would look to the commission and the department to do more work in that area.
Okay, thank you very much for your answers and for your willingness to serve on this very important commission. And we'll be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing. Thank you again. I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Marty Perez and James Saker to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. After we've heard from them, we will be hearing from Catherine Mater and Orlando Simpson, so please be ready. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and just tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on the TSPC.
Good afternoon. My name is Marty Perez, and I currently serve as a Spanish immersion teacher at Franklin High School in Portland, Oregon. I was born and raised in the Klamath Falls Basin, and I've had the privilege to work in very diverse populations, and I've had the privilege to work with diverse curricula as well. I think my interest on the board is the fact that I bring perspective. And I just want to keep it super brief, and I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to being of service to this education board.
Great. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Madam Chair, James Sager, currently superintendent, Northwest Regional Education Service District. I can't match Jerry Colonna's 44 years, but in my over 31 years, I've had the great honor to serve as from a superintendent to a first grade teacher, from a union president to a governor's advisor. During that entire time, my focus has been on what I believe is best for the students of Oregon and for strengthening public education. And I believe I can help TSPC not only carry out its responsibilities, but play an even more active role in strengthening and enhancing our education enterprise here in Oregon. So thank you.
Thank you. Brevity is definitely the soul of wit today. I think Senator Ferrioli and I might both be former English majors, and perhaps Senator Burdick, too. Okay, Senator Ferrioli, please go ahead.
Just for Mr. Sager, please. Do you believe, is there any role that student test scores should play in teacher evaluations that are conducted by TSPC?
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Ferrioli, as it relates to TSPC, the evaluation system inside the schools now, we have a percentage of the evaluation that includes performance measures, can be a variety of them for student growth. And so that is a function of the evaluation process within the districts and the ESDs. TSPC doesn't supervise that evaluation process. So I just want to make sure I address your concern or your question.
Well, Madam Chair, if I could just follow up.
Go ahead.
Sure. So is there any role that TSPC plays in teacher evaluation after the teachers in the classroom?
Again, Madam Chair and Senator Ferrioli, I believe that it is the TSPC's responsibility when there are issues brought to it to investigate and make sure that, in fact, an educator, whether it's a classroom teacher or administrator, is carrying out their responsibility correctly. Again, the evaluation in the classroom is conducted on the teacher's part is conducted by the administrators in the district. So the TSPC wouldn't step in and evaluate that evaluation. It would step in if, in fact, there are issues that are brought to its attention that would merit review of licensure, suspension, or, you know, reprimands, things of that nature.
That's my understanding, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Farrioli. I don't see any other questions, so thank you both for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Catherine Mader and Alana Simpson to the Oregon Transportation Commission. As they're coming forward next, we'll be hearing from Sally Curie and Judy Johnson. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please just tell us briefly about your background and why you'd like to serve on the Oregon Transportation Commission.
Thank you. How about you?
I will be more than happy to go first. Thanks again for allowing me to be here today and talk about myself in a little regard about my experience with my business and why I'm interested in this commission in particular. My name is Orlando Simpson. And my business is City of Roses Disposal and Recycling. We are a integrated solid waste and recycling company, actually the first ever African-American owned in the state of Oregon. And I believe that I bring a diverse, intricate skill set, at least I can provide to this commission in terms of focus on sustainability and not only just the environmental element of sustainability, but the social equity side, which I believe is a very important component to it since it tends to get forgot about a lot. And since I am in an industry that relies heavily on transportation, moving products and materials into our facility and out of it, I feel like there's a lot of things that I've experienced within my own business that I can use an equity lens in terms of sustainability to try to utilize that to better suit the commission in itself. And that's really about it. I appreciate you allowing me to be here, and I'm excited about being appointee, and hopefully everything works out.
Great. Thank you very much. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Catherine Mader, and Senators, it's a pleasure to be with all of you today. Just as a little bit of short background, many of you I've known for quite a while, but in all honesty, when I got the call from the governor to consider this position, I first sat back and thought, this is a little bit out of the normal area of where I've served. I've served in many capacities in the state of Oregon, 6 governors, was on the Oregon Economic Development Commission, the Board of Medical Examiners, 7 years of that on the Investigative Committee and the Capital Planning Commission. Transportation was a little bit outside of my norm on this. I had an engineering firm that works primarily in natural resources, the forest products industry. An engineer by training, do a lot in terms of construction and engineering. In the last 15 years, I've spent quite a bit of my time in sustainable policy development, both here at the state level and at the national level. I got a second call from the governor saying, not only do I want you to consider the Oregon Transportation Board, but I'd like you to chair it. And again, my response was, are you sure? Is this really something that you want me to do? And after looking at where I think the Oregon Transportation Commission and Oregon Department of Transportation is going in the state, it began to make sense to me. I think we're in a world of hurt here. We're heading into a pretty tough budgetary situation with the Oregon Department of Transportation. And I think unlike areas where we've been able to rely on federal changes that might have helped facilitate our budget, I don't believe that's going to be the case in the future. So from that standpoint, working in natural resources, getting policy changes that do unusual partnerships, which I think is going to be required in this case, looking outside the box, and frankly working in prototype territory, which is what I do, that I can bring to this particular commission. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both for your introductions, questions. Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Just a comment. I applaud you both for willing to take on this challenge. It's as the chair of the Transportation Committee, I'm very aware of some of the problems we've talked about. It's a tough challenge, and I think we really need your sleeve rolled up approach to getting at it and looking at it and helping us as we go into 2015 figure out some ways to, one, prioritize some of the services. I do not believe we can maintain the system completely as we have it today. We have to take a look at where we're going to put the resources, and frankly, we need some new resources and some different ways to deal with it just to maintain what we have. So it's a hard job, and I'm sure you're up to it.
Thank you for your comment. Other questions or comments? Okay, it looks like you've answered everybody. Thank you again, and we'll be acting on your appointment to this extremely important commission at the close of the hearing today. Thank you for being
here. Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Sally Curie and Judy Johnson to the Workers' Compensation Board. And next, after we've heard from them, we'll have one person on the phone, but we'll also have in the room Gail Swanston and Jean Verhaven. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please tell us briefly who you are and why you'd like to serve on the Workers' Comp Board.
Okay. My name is Sally Curry. Thank you for letting us be here today, Senators Rosenbaum and Senate members. I've been nominated by the Governor's Office to fill a vacant position with the Workers' Compensation Board. My background for 25 years has been workers' compensation. I started at the Workers' Compensation Board as a staff attorney right after I got out of law school. From there, I went to Liberty Northwest, now Liberty Mutual. Have been a practicing full-time litigation counsel there for 23 years, or just short of 23 years. I can't think of a better place to go from here than the Workers' Compensation Board. I have a total of 25, give or take, experience as workers' comp counsel. I know the players. I know the judges. I know 95% of the board members. No, I know them all. I know and am familiar with the bar members from both sides. I have chaired the Oregon State Bar's Workers' Compensation Annual Conference on Comp for 8 years in a row. That allows me to meet pretty much everybody, and I do it because it allows me to meet everybody and see the players. When I was a staff attorney, I met the players in the workers' compensation system by reading briefs. I didn't know them. I didn't know who they were, and I didn't have faces. But I could see who did work well with clients and who did the work and put in the time. I think it would be really interesting for me to kind of move forward as a board member, knowing all of the players and getting a different perspective and reviewing cases from the ground up. I haven't been a claimant's attorney. I have been a claimant. So I fell one day on the way to a mediation and injured my elbow, and I got the pleasure of processing a workers' compensation claim of my own. So I have. That's kind of an interesting experience some people don't get, and I'm not sure I wanted it, but I've got it. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name's Judy Johnson. I, too, am a nominee for one of the employer representative positions on the board. Very briefly, by way of background, came to Oregon to go to law school and never left. I practiced, had a litigation practice basically for 32 years when I decided in 2012 that that was enough. Enough litigation, enough being a hired representative for a particular party. 27 years in workers' comp. I'm not sure how that happened and how I got so old, but it did. I'm aware from my work over the years that for many people, both employers and injured workers, a litigated claim is their exposure to the government and to a quasi-judicial proceeding. And because of that, and for that reason, it's important that they feel that their claim, the matter was handled fairly, it was done equitably and efficiently. Not everyone is always happy with the outcome, but I do think we do have some control over the process and making it as meaningful and fair as we can. For me, this is an opportunity to focus on doing what's fair, doing what's legally correct, and trying to send that message of fairness. And I thought I was done practicing law. But I can't tell you how excited I was about this opportunity. I think it'd be a good fit. I think I could do it well, and I'd very much like the chance to try.
Okay, thank you both for your willingness to serve, and I do have a question for you. Obviously, you're both being appointed to a balanced board that has labor members, a public member, and you are going to be the employer members. I think one of the things about workers' comp in Oregon is that over time it's evolved, and particularly I'm curious, since you practice in this area, to have far fewer attorneys practicing in this area, particularly in the claimants bar, than used to. And I think some would say that's because this is supposed to be a non-litigious system and that people get the benefits they're entitled to with a minimum of fuss and mess. Some other people would say that we have changed the law in ways that's made it harder for claimants to prevail and therefore fewer attorneys are representing those claimants. So just want to ask you to respond a little bit to the system at its fundamental level, which I do think is supposed to still be a no-fault system whereby people hurt through no fault of their own get the benefits and the medical care that they're entitled to. So just what are your thoughts on how this works for workers, I guess, and how it works for employers?
Well, this is Sally Curry. Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. The question comes up really often for all of us, and we hear lots of things from both sides of the bar. The issues have flip-flopped several times since I started practicing workers' compensation law. There are some laws that have been adopted which have some significant effect on workers and whether or not they can get benefits. There's also a lot of additional rules that have been adopted that actually improve the amount of benefits that a worker gets. So it's a give and take. It's been kind of interesting to watch what happens. As the Court of Appeals has issued some decisions recently, we're going to get another chance to take a look at some of those laws and how they're going to impact workers. But ultimately, there's changes both ways. Both sides are correct. The law has changed to affect the amount of benefits a worker can get, but there are other laws that have increased the amount of benefits that a worker gets. A lot of things have happened. The sheer numbers of cases going in front of the Workers' Comp Board has gone down over the years, and it's gone down for litigation as well. That has to do not necessarily just with the idea that the laws are becoming more difficult for a claimant to get benefits, but it has to do with the economic downturn. Less people are working. Better improved safety measures that are being applied by employers that are really helping actually limit the amount of claims that are out there. There's also an argument, real briefly, on the issue of attorney's fees, whether there is a sufficient number of claimants' attorneys out there to represent workers. And that's another argument for another day. there's a lot of things happening that kind of flip-flops the amount of the number of cases that come through. And I don't personally think that, as it stands right now, workers are not available to be represented by counsel. I think there's plenty of folks out there, and I've seen a lot of new workers, new claimants' attorneys out there joining the force. So that's all good news for the workers.
Thank you.
I would just add briefly that it is a very complex system in Oregon, and while I've always practiced in Oregon, there was a period of time when I was looking a little bit at Washington law. It's amazing how little there is in other jurisdictions versus the amount of regulation and the amount of litigation in Oregon, I think, is quite high. It's very complex. Attorneys don't dabble in it. And I know that the claimants bar has been concerned for years that compensation hasn't kept pace with the practice. And it's become a disincentive to folks entering that specialization, particularly on the claimant side. I know that MLAC has looked at that for years. I think it'll continue to be a problem that needs to be watched. The system is sufficiently complex that injured workers do need to have attorneys to represent them.
Okay, thank you both for your thoughtful answers and for your willingness to serve.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointments of Anna Sanger-Reed, Gail Swanstem, and Jean Verhaefden to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. Two of you are in the room, and then we're going... Oh, two are on the phone. Okay, so Ms. Sanger-Reed, I believe, is here, and you'll be joined by two people on the phone.
We're just going to do Gail first.
Okay.
That's Gail.
Great. Is this Gail Swanstem?
It is, yes.
Hi, this is Senator Dianne Rosenbaum here in the Capitol and the Senate Rules Committee. We've just opened a hearing on your appointment. We're going to hear first from Anna Sanger-Reed, who's here with us in person, and then we'll ask you to tell us very briefly about your background and why you want to serve on this board. Please go
ahead.
Thank
you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I am really excited to be here and excited about this opportunity. I have been living in Oregon in Lake Oswego for about 6 years now.
I'm sorry. You do need to say your
name.
Say my name?
Oh, I'm
sorry.
My name's Anna Sanger-Reed. So I have been living in Lake Oswego, Oregon for 6 years now after completing my bachelor's degree in psychology at the University of Washington. Just fell in love with Oregon when I moved here. I just think it's a wonderful place to live, and I've had a great opportunity to learn a lot about the whole state with my job with Parkinson's Resources of Oregon over the last 6 years as the program manager. And so working with clients who have Parkinson's disease and really understanding very closely how problems with speech and communication can really impact their quality of life and be a barrier for them to interact with the world. And of course, audiology as well can be a huge issue if people don't have access to safe and evidence-based therapies for that. So the reason I became very interested in serving on this board is really coming from a place of seeing the benefit and truly just appreciating and acknowledging how important those services are for people and wanting to do my part to give back to make sure we can preserve that.
Great. Thank you very much. And if you would stay put, then we'll ask Gail Swanstem, please go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the committee for making this accommodation for me. I fully intended to be there physically. It's not possible for me today, and I hope this hasn't caused you and the committee too much of a problem. I've been in practice here starting my 34th year out here in Hillsboro. It's been a very long and beautiful career. We're very fortunate here in Oregon to have a wonderful audiology, speech pathology community. My interest stems from the fact that I'd like to give back to the community that has been so generous to me. I know that the board is most interested in consumer protection and maintaining the ethical and legal standards to which we all need to aspire. And I believe after my time here in the community, I can definitely have some input.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. I think since we're going to have to let you go to add another person on the phone, I'll ask, are there any questions for these two good folks? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gail, and we'll let you go and be acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator.
And next we'll be hearing from Jean Verhaefden. Hi, is this Jean Verhaefden?
Hello?
Hello, is this Jean Verhaefden?
Hello?
Yes, this is Senator Rosenbaum. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. This is Jean Verhaefden.
Great. So we've just opened a hearing on your appointment to the Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology. We'd like to hear you say your name and then briefly tell us about your background and why you want to serve.
Okay, sure. My name is Jean Verhaefden. I am a otolaryngologist here in Bend, Oregon. I'm fellowship trained in neurolaryngology and laryngology, which is basically the study of voice and swallowing disorders. So I work with speech language pathologists quite a bit, actually. In addition, otolaryngology usually works with audiologists as well. And so this is in partnership with kind of going to some of the rural communities. So I've done outlying clinics in Prideville, Klamath Falls, and Burns. I think it would help in terms of serving on this committee to kind of bring that perspective to this particular board. I guess if you have any other questions, but thank you for considering me. I'm not sure if there's anything else you want me to elaborate on.
No, that was great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Are there any questions? I don't see any questions for either one of you, so thank you again, and we'll let you go about your busy day. And I'll close.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Candace Franck to the Oregon Board of Accountancy. After we hear from her, we'll call Kathleen Johnson. Good afternoon. Welcome to the busy Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you very much, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. I'm Candace Franck from Bend, Oregon. I'm a lifelong Oregon resident, married with a son going to Portland State University. I've been practicing public accounting for nearly 30 years, all with the same firm. We do the full range of tax, and we audit local governments and nonprofits and small businesses. It's one of the larger and oldest accounting firms based in Central Oregon. CPA firm clients often look at their accountant as being one of the most trusted advisors in their life a lot of times. And it's a profession that we always like to think of as being very, very noble, one that I'd like to think that the public can always have the utmost trust and confidence in the integrity and the work that CPAs do. I think serving on the Board of Accountancy would help me with this, keeping this profession with its good reputation in the state of Oregon.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, it looks like you've answered them all, so thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Kathleen Johnson to the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islanders Affairs. And while she's coming forward, next we'll be hearing from Vincent Granato and Mary Rosenblum. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. Good afternoon. My name is Kathleen Johnson. I am a resident of Kaiser. I work for the Salem Kaiser Public Schools serving English language learners and their families. I am honored to be here in your presence, and I want to thank the Senate Rules Committee for this opportunity, allowing me to verbally express my interest to serve on the Oregon Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs. I care about the work of the Commission, and I want to be a part of it. With my 12 years of experience as an educator and my cultural background, I can bring additional insight and a different perspective to the work that the Commission is already doing. My children spent part of their young lives in Kaiser, attending middle and high school. We consider Oregon to be our third home. Serving on the Commission would also be my way of giving back to the Oregon community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being willing to serve. Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it looks like you answered them all, and thank you for being so patient. I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Vincent Granato and Mary Rosenblum to the State Aviation Board. After we hear from them, we're going to be hearing from Venkatesh Ramakrishnan. And please go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us why you'd like to serve.
I'm Mary Rosenblum from Canby, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. I'm currently president of the Oregon Pilots Association. I'm a licensed private pilot and instrument rated. I've been president of Oregon Pilots Association and very involved with the aviation community for several years now. General aviation is relatively overlooked in this state, but it contributed more than $6 billion with a B dollars to the Oregon urban economy in 2012, and it's expanding. There are a lot of issues that are facing the general aviation world. It includes small-scale commercial operators, agricultural pilots, private pilots like myself who fly to tourist destinations, as well as the business jets that are coming into our airports and allow economic expansion into areas such as John Day and Prineville and Bend, because that companies such as Google and Facebook can land their biz jets on those airports. We are facing as well the issue of unmanned aerial systems, which we are now one of the federal ranges here. So the issues as we evolve from the way aviation used to be to the way it needs to go forward are considerable, including a crumbling infrastructure in our state. I look forward to serving on this board and bringing my experience and my connections with the diverse population. I'm also on the board of the Oregon Aviation Industry Cluster, which is Associated Aviation Businesses. So we all sort of are in this together from our various diverse platforms. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Please
Madam
go
Chair
ahead.
And Senators, thank you. I'm Vince Granato. I'm the Chief Operating Officer with the Port of Portland. I've been with the port for coming up on 27 years now, most all of that time associated with the airport. I started in the finance world. I've done operations, real estate, marketing, and any number of different areas. I was also the Chief Financial Officer for the port before I moved over to the Chief Operating Officer. And having been involved in aviation, we have obviously PDX, but we have Hillsborough and Troutdale as well. And I think I would bring a broad background and experience to this, and I agree with Mary. The aviation system is really, it takes a village to make it all work together, and I think we would, and I would also bring that different perspective about the business elements that are associated with running and operating these airports. They're big assets. They are big infrastructure. They take time and care and feeding, regardless of how much activity is going on there, and coming up with unique ideas on how we continue to maintain that infrastructure, I think, is important. And that's something that I would hope to be able to bring to this commission. So I appreciate your consideration.
Great. Thank you both for being willing to serve. Are there any questions? I don't see any, so thank you again. I'll close the public hearing. And next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Venkatesh Ramakrishnan to the Commission for the Blind, and I hope I didn't butcher your name too badly.
You did very well. And thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Venkatesh Ramakrishnan. I'm very humbled to be present in front of you for this hearing. I was born in India. I came to this country 20 years ago. I worked for companies in India. I came here and worked as an IT consultant for companies like Nike, US Bank, CNF Transportation, those companies. I'm married. My wife works for a company here. My son is a sophomore in the Westview High School. He unusual for an Indian kid to play for a varsity basketball. He's one of the very unique person to play for the school team. With my technology background, I believe I can add a value to this Oregon Blind Commission, and also I am also very involved in staffing services for companies here in Oregon. With that knowledge, I believe I can add a perspective outside that staffing industry where we can help people who are blind or where they need some help. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, thank you again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I will close this public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Mariana Lindsay to the Construction Contractors Board. After we hear from her, we'll be hearing from Lindsay McGrath and Don Thompson. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please identify yourself. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you'd like to serve on the CCB.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair and Senators. It's really an honor to be with you today, and I'm so thankful for all you do for the state. My name is Mariana Lindsay. I'm from Portland, Oregon. I'm a lifelong Oregonian that is really deeply committed in investing my time and energy into the continued growth and success of our great state. As the daughter of a small business owner in property development and management, I have a particular interest in how we build our construction industry and really how we protect the consumer rights within that industry. I have spent my career as an advocate for women and young people as they pursue their own leadership and civic engagement ambitions. In my work presently at the Center for Women's Leadership at Portland State University, I get the chance every day to advocate for Oregon's emerging leaders, and I'm really thrilled to get my own chance to put that into action and hopefully bring a little of my own leadership to making Oregon better. While my career has not been in construction, I am really thrilled to get the chance to be a nominee for the Construction Contractors Board. I thank you all for your consideration and all you do for Oregon.
Thank you very much. This is a great match, I think, because obviously women working in construction jobs is a growing area of our workforce and one that a lot of good work has been already done. So I think you'll find this a very interesting assignment. Any questions? No, I don't see any, so thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing. Next, we'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Lindsay McGrath and Don Thompson to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. After we hear from them, we'll be calling Amy Fine and Gary Underhill. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and we're looking forward to hearing from both of you.
Thank you for having me. Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Lindsay McGrath. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in private practice in Portland, and I live in the metro area. I feel it's vital as a community member to support our community and to be a public servant, and I'm able to do that on a smaller scale through my work with Baby Blues Foundation, and I'm on the school advisory board for our elementary school. But this is a much bigger opportunity for me to work with my profession and help develop it and also work with consumer protection. Therapy is a powerful and important tool for people, and I think it should be used wisely. And I feel like I have the ethical background and responsibility to advise on this board.
Great. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Don Thompson. I live in Kaiser, Oregon. I am an Oregonian since 1992. I visited, and contrary to Governor McCall's advice, I stayed. I love this place deeply. I'm currently the director of the Counseling Center at Willamette University, about 300 yards from where I sit right now. I am also a licensed professional counselor, been licensed since 2006. Really, when I was considering why I would seek appointment to this board, as Lindsay said, I believe deeply in the work that we do in the work of the profession, and I see this as an opportunity to truly give back to the profession and to the consumers it serves and Oregonians in a really meaningful way. So thank you for the opportunity.
Great. Thank you both for being willing to take time out of your busy schedules to be here today and to serve on this in these very important positions. I don't see any questions for you, so we'll let you go.
Thank you very much.
And I'll close this public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Amy Fine and Gary Underhill to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, and then after we hear from them, we'll hear from Sarah Taylor. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently. Whichever of you wants to go first.
Good afternoon, Senator Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Amy Fine. I live in Medford in District 3, and I am a nominee for the Oregon Board of Dentistry. I am here today. I am thrilled and I am honored to be here and for this opportunity to speak with you. I currently am the dental director of a federally qualified health center in Medford, Oregon, one of the largest in Southern Oregon. And through that opportunity, I have been able to serve many of the public throughout different realms. We especially focus on those who are facing barriers to the access to oral health care, and that is where my passion lies, is making sure that everyone is able to access quality dental care and the education that goes with it. I also have the opportunity to be an adjunct faculty with the Oregon Health Sciences University, where I am able to help train and mentor our future dentists. And I feel that is a central role for us to get the quality care that we need in this state. I'm also currently involved with the Oregon Primary Care Association and am actively involved with health care reform in the state. In Jackson County, I've met with both coordinated care organizations and been actively involved with the different dental care organizations also. I am passionate about oral health care and the education that is needed to occur for us to have a change in the state, and I feel that it is essential that we have the representation on the board of the public health realm and not just private practice. I feel that it is our duty as citizens to help those who need it and to improve oral health care in Oregon, and I thank you for this opportunity and this honor to come before you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for traveling such a distance to get here and be with us in person. Please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, it's good to be here today. I'm Gary Underhill. I'm from Enterprise, Oregon in Wallowa County, District 58. My wife and I have lived in Enterprise since 1974, practiced dentistry there since then. During that period of time, I've been actively involved in organized dentistry, been chairman of peer review committees, on some committees for quality assurance for managed care. I want to thank Governor Kitzhaber for this appointment, and I look forward to serving Oregon on the Board of Dentistry.
Great. Thank you, too, for traveling a great distance to be here in person. Thank you both. Are there any questions for the good doctors? Okay. Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Sarah Taylor to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery. While she's coming forward, I'll let the next people know that we will be calling Robert Stewart after Robert Stewart will be hearing from Sarah Cromwell. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Sarah Taylor, and I have been a midwife in Oregon since 1980 and have delivered over 2,000 Oregonian babies into this state. I became a midwife when I was a Head Start director and an early Head Start director, and when I could see that the effects of birth could be devastating on young children. So my interest in midwifery came from wanting to have healthy, happy families. I went on to have a dual career. I was also a Portland Public School principal as well as a midwife. Recently, I've worked in Haiti and Cambodia and Vietnam and done midwifery education, and I've had an opportunity to work with the World Health Organization and to meet midwives from all over the world. So that's me briefly, and I hope that I can combine my experience in education and midwifery to be an asset to the board and to Oregon.
Great. Well, thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Any questions? I don't see any.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Robert Stewart to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. Good afternoon, and thanks for waiting so patiently.
Yeah, and thank you, Senators Rowley and Beyer and Burdick, for your time today. I'm a superintendent of Gladstone School District.
And could you say your own name, please?
I'm sorry, Robert Stewart, and I'm superintendent of Gladstone School District and have been superintendent since 1999. And I live in Canby, Oregon. My interest in being on the OEBB is certainly about being able to provide quality, affordable health care for our employees and improve the population health of our employees. And I've watched over my 15-year career as superintendent, our health care costs go from an average of $5,000 per employee to a comparable plan would be $18,000 per employee today. That trajectory can't continue to go forward. We have to have some ideas and some thoughts on how to alter that and change that. So I have a great deal of interest in this, not just about the cost, but also about the quality. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Stewart?
Thanks.
Okay, thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointment of Sarah Cromwell to the Employment Appeals Board. And after we hear from her, we'll be hearing from Daniel Golden. And then next, we'll be hearing from Sean Colmer. Good afternoon, and thank you for waiting so patiently, and we're eager to hear from you about your background and why you want to serve on the Employment Appeals Board.
Good afternoon, Senator Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Sarah Cromwell, and I am interested in the Employment Appeals Board position because I've worked for the Employment Appeals Board for the past 9 years as part of their legal staff. During that period of time, I've had the opportunity to serve as a pro tem board member 5 times and as pro tem chairperson 1 time. I enjoy the work I do there. I'm good at it. I've had the opportunity to grow in that position, and I look forward to the opportunity to continue my career in public service.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. I don't see any questions for you. I will just clarify for people that are following along at home or in the room that the Employment Appeals Board is very important because it handles appeals of unemployment insurance claims. These appeals could be either from employers or from people who have been seeking unemployment benefits. So
yes, that's correct.
Very important.
Yes.
Thanks again for being willing to serve. And I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Daniel Golden to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum, Chair of the Rules Committee, and Vice Chair, Senator Farioli. I'm Dan Golden, and I currently serve in Klamath County as Director of the Klamath County Juvenile Department. I've worked in a variety of management posts in Klamath County, going back 24 years to my graduation from Northwestern College of Law, Lewis and Clark College, during which I served as a law clerk in the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I have experience at a variety of different levels. In determining the administration of justice in the juvenile system, I think we find a situation very much like the Oregon Governmental Ethics Commission, a specific set of rules, a jurisdiction that's unique, and certainly something that I think we can all support, and that is that the credibility of Oregon's government is determined by the work of panels that self-regulate in Oregon government for, against corrupt practices, basically. So I am ready to serve and honored to be considered in nomination.
Great, thank you. Any questions? Okay, it looks like you've answered them all, and we will look forward to acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing today.
Thank you very much, Chair.
And I'll close this public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Sean Colmer to the Oregon Health Policy Board. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please tell us a little bit about who you are and why you'd like to serve on the Oregon Health Policy Board.
Sure. Thank you. For the record, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli, Senators, Sean Colmer, I'm really happy to be here. I think this is an incredible opportunity, and blessed to be before you today. A little bit of background about me. I know we know each other during my current life, but I've spent my entire career in health, public health, and serving others to improve health, regardless of whether it's at an individual level or at a community level. I started my career up at OHSU and then began my state service shortly thereafter in a variety of roles to really get to the core of, I think, what the Health Policy Board is all about, is really improving the lifelong health of Oregonians. In my current role, I'm the Health Policy Advisor for the Governor, and I also have the pleasure of being the Chair of the Public Employees Benefit Board. I'll sort of stop there and let people ask questions if they have any.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions, Senator Farioli?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Colmer, have you read the Maximus report?
Chair Rosenbaum, I have read some of the Maximus reports, yes.
Can you give me an idea of when you first were advised of the findings of Maximus about the Cover Oregon meltdown?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Farioli, we were informed at the end of September that the site wouldn't go live and it would be a staged launch. And then throughout October, we're informed that it wasn't going to go live at all, as was reported in the first data report that I know you and other senators have copies of.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please.
So it was pretty clear, though, in the Maximus report that the deliverables were lacking, gateways weren't going to be met, products were not describable in terms that would lead folks that had an oversight authority to say, gee, this is a failure to launch, a failure to deliver. It isn't even ready to roll out. And that's very clear if you follow the thread through the Maximus report. After you read that and received that information, who did you tell about that?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli. So as is normal, when I saw those reports, we talked with those responsible, so those at Cover Oregon and the Oregon Health Authority, when those issues were raised, and were assured that when those issues were raised, they were resolved. That's what we did as advisors. That's what I did as an advisor, and was assured that. Hindsight is always 20/20, and we've seen that with the first data report. It was not only issues with management and the information they were bringing to us and bringing to me personally, but also a failure of our vendors and others to deliver. So, as you know, we've taken action that the governor has asked us to take at Cover Oregon and the Oregon Health Authority, and we're moving that work forward.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
So you raised these issues with folks that had responsibility to be accountable for the product,
mm-hmm.
and they assured you that the product was being delivered as contracted for and that it would work.
Correct.
In hindsight, have you formed an opinion about what actually happened in those conversations?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Senator Ferrioli, it's incredibly complex. And I think we know now that the scope of the project was beyond what was able to be delivered on. And I think hindsight, personally, I probably would have asked different questions, and I would have asked harder questions, but I can't do that. All I can do now is do the work moving forward and ensure that Oregonians have the access we want them to have to coverage. So.
Madam Chair, just one more question along that line, and then I have another question for Mr. Comer.
Yes, please go ahead, Senator Ferrioli.
So did you conclude that you were being given information that was at variance with the facts?
Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli, I don't know the answer to that. I don't think people were lying to me. I think they were giving me the information they were given by folks that report to them. So I have to depend on the people who are giving me the information. I don't think they were lying.
I'm sure that may be true, but certainly millions of dollars depended on your belief that the contracts were being, that the products were being delivered as per the contracts. So, Madam Chair, this question has to do with when Mr. Comer was the chair of PEB. There was an issue that came up about mental health parity and the provision of services for those families whose children were suffering autism, and it's my impression that you personally made decisions that denied PEB coverage for any treatment related to autism, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to clarify that.
Sure.
For the record.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Vice Chair Ferrioli. So I'm not aware of singular decisions that I made that did that. I think what I can say is I've met with the advocate community, I've met with the insurance community, and when they brought a problem to us or a challenge to us, we got around a table and collectively passed Senate Bill 365, which mandates the coverage that the advocates and others believed was insufficient into PEB, and that starts January 1, 2015. That's where we are. That's the agreements that we came to. I was happy with that result. I think everyone around the table was. I don't know what particular issue someone's talking about in terms of bringing it to me personally. I am the chair of the PEB board. I have 8 other members of the board. We do make decisions around benefits, so ultimately I'm accountable to how the benefits are shaped and what happens in the PEB benefits.
So, Madam Chair, just a
additional question, a final question.
Final clarification. So if I understand you correctly, then the policy board made the decision not to offer any benefits for autism victims And eventually, there became legislation to authorize benefits for autism.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senator Farrelly, I don't think that's entirely accurate. I think there are services that are provided to PEB members for autism. I think the degree at which it's medically necessary, it is approved. And there is an appeals process that members have if they feel like they're being aggrieved. It's well in place. I know it's not fun. But the ultimate decider, if an appeal goes forward, is at the PEB board.
Madam Chair, I think the ultimate decider is litigation currently underway. PS versus PEP 29, April 2014. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farrelly. Are there additional questions for Mr. Cromer? Okay, it looks like you have survived. And thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you for your time.
Maybe.
I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Lisa Graham, Dave Nelson, former Senator Dave Nelson, and Shay Washington to the State Board of Higher Education. If the three of you would like to all come forward, we have three chairs, and then after we hear from them, we'll be hearing from Jennifer Coakley. Welcome back, Senator Nelson. We've missed you.
Spin.
So whichever of you would like to go first, please just introduce yourself and tell us why you'd like to serve on the State Board of Higher Education.
Okay, thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Lisa Graham. I'm visiting today from Bend. I'm an engineer, long-term resident of Oregon, and a small business owner. Very briefly, background for me. So I've been in our school system, and the reason I'm interested in serving on the State Board of Higher Education is because I've had a lot of value throughout my life, both as a being in school here, but as well as being a professional. So I was a Corvallis High School graduate after my dad retired from active military service. As you can imagine, we moved around a lot. So I took the opportunity to stay put, go to Oregon State, get an engineering degree, learn how to make long-time friends. I was really good at the moving around thing. At the end of graduate school, my husband and I took our first engineering jobs, took a world tour starting in West Virginia. Hightailed it back here after a few years because this is home and where we wanted to raise a family. So there's two drivers for me to want to be on this board. The first is that I really believe in a strong education and people taking an interest. I have a lot of gratitude towards people that made the programs the way they were so that I have had a professional engineering career. The second driver for me is I believe we have an opportunity to align what we teach our students to benefit our state and give the right programs. And I think Oregon is in a very critical time. There's a lot of things going on with the universities. And with my role on the STEM Council and ETIC and being active with both Oregon Tech and Oregon State, I think I have a perspective on the challenges that we're facing right now with higher education. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions when you're ready.
Thank you very much. We'll hear from all three of you first.
Okay, thank you, Chair Rosenbaum. David Nelson from Pendleton, Oregon. I'm a retired state legislator. I'm interested in being involved with the Higher Education Board because I think at one of our, I think my last session, we probably passed this the change in governance, and I feel some responsibility for how it turns out. But I'm also very interested in, you know, what happens with higher education. As I understand the plan, you know, the board, existing board is going out, is sunsetted in June or July 1 of 2015. And so there, each of the universities, the seven universities, will have a governing board. And I think that probably all of us are sort of somewhat looked at as serving this 1 year on the higher education board and then moving on to maybe the regional board and seeing how we can make the transition work easier. So that's where I'm at.
Great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve.
Hi, my name is Joe Washington. Happy to be here. Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. I'm originally...
Mike.
Closer?
You don't need to be so close. Okay. It's a very sensitive audio system here.
I'm happy to be here. I'm pretty much an Oregonian. I'm originally from California, as I think 60% of Oregonians are.
not real.
I heard that's the way it works. I originally out of high school. I'm a Thurston graduate from Springfield. Lucky enough to get a scholarship to surprise basketball to Montana State, but then finished at a state school here, Southern Oregon University. My sister and I have a twin sister. We're both, I guess, first generation graduates, you'd call us. For me and my life and my family, it's changed the trajectory of where we're headed, our family. And I'd like to see and do whatever I can to help as many others change the trajectory for their families as well. So that's where my interest is, in making that accessible.
Great. Well, thanks to all three of you for being willing to take on this important assignment and for traveling a distance to get here. Did we have any questions? Senator Farioli?
Madam Chair, I'm just so gratified to see these young, forward-thinking nominees to this important commission. Just, just to comment that Senator Nelson served with distinction in the Senate. We got a two-for-one deal. Alice Nelson, who's here so in support of her husband, as always, was part of that two-for-one deal, and I just wondered if she's going to play a similar role in this higher education gambit that will undoubtedly be a confirm.
I see her shaking her head, so I would assume you can answer that, Senator Nelson, if you like, that you probably consult on all matters.
That's why this works.
One of the things I always tell my children is never underestimate the power of a woman, so you just never know.
Great answer. A wise man.
Great answer.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, well, thanks to all three of you for this important service. And I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Jennifer Coakley to the Home Care Commission. After we've heard from her, we'll call Daniel Pippinger. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for waiting so patiently, and we're looking forward to hearing who you are and why you'd like to serve on the Home Care Commission.
Madam Chair Rosenbaum, Senators, my name is Jenny Coakley. I currently work as a policy analyst with Aging and People with Disabilities with the Department of Human Services. I work with the In-Home Services Program and the Home Care Worker Program. And in that position, I work very closely with the Home Care Commission and the commissioners and other stakeholders, as well as the union that represents home care workers. I believe that I have a lot of experience and knowledge that I can use in that position in terms of advocating for seniors and people with disabilities.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much for taking on this important assignment.
Thank you very much.
We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of today's hearing. I'll close this public hearing. Thank you again. And open a public hearing on the appointment of Daniel Pippinger to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. And next we'll be hearing from Sean Carey. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Dan Pippinger. I'm the General Manager of Marine Operations at the Port of Portland. Prior coming to the port, I was a commissioned officer in the U.S. Coast Guard for over 20 years, primarily in marine safety. The marine pilots for Oregon play a critical link in global access to markets for Oregon businesses, both importing and exporting. And I look forward to hopefully being a part of making sure the system stays safe and efficient.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farioli.
This has nothing to do with this gentleman's appointment, but Senator Adel Gordley and I were privileged to take a trip on an ocean-going freighter out of the Port of Portland to the Port of Astoria. Where they didn't tell us we would be leaping from an iron ladder to the pitching deck of a tender. And being the gentleman that I am, I allowed Senator Gordley to precede me in that process, thinking that surely if Senator Gordley makes it safely, I will make it safely as well. And it is then that I learned that the Marine pilots literally take these freighters within 12 to 14 feet of the bank and negotiate a channel that's probably one of the most difficult in the world. They're amazing people. So to be on that board is to represent these amazing people that do, in fact, control the keys to the gateway of the Pacific Rim for Oregon. So Godspeed with your work and all of the Marine pilots. Pretty impressive people.
Thank you.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more, Senator Ferrioli, and your bravery is only exceeded by the skill and bravery of the good folks.
Senator Clark.
Okay, thanks again for taking on this important assignment. I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Sean Carey to the Nursing Home Administrators Board. After that, we'll be hearing from Lauren Goddard. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. Please introduce yourself for the record. Tell us a little about your background and why you'd like to serve.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators, thank you for the opportunity to appear today. My name is Sean Carey. I'm a lifelong Oregonian, and I currently live in Southeast Portland. I own a long-term care consultancy, and I've been a licensed nursing home administrator since 2011. I've worked in the field since 2004 in various communities in Oregon. I'm also currently completing a master's in healthcare administration. Oregon nursing home administrators are responsible for protecting some of our state's most vulnerable citizens, and I'm interested in serving in this board to help ensure strong guidance and support for licensed administrators, while also working with state agencies to ensure that Oregon remains a leader in how we provide care and services to our elders living in nursing homes. Thank you. Welcome any questions you might have.
Any questions? Okay, looks like you've answered them all. Thanks again. We'll be acting on your appointment at the close of our hearing. I'll close this public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Lauren Goddard to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council. After we hear from him, we'll be calling Catherine Weber. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting so patiently, and we're looking forward to hearing who you are and why you'd like to serve on...
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. I'm Lauren Goddard. I reside in Depot Bay, Oregon. I'm being considered for nomination to the Ocean Policy Advisory Commission. I am an owner of Dockside Charters in Depot Bay, a company that does fishing and whale watching charters. I also maintain a Coast Guard master's license for vessels up to 100 tons. I spend on average of 180 to 200 days a year on the water off our coast. And had anyone told me 15 years ago that it would be necessary for me to become politically active to continue to drive my boat and catch a few fish, I'd have told them they were nuts. Now, about a decade ago, I was instrumental in forming a grassroots organization in Depot Bay called the Nearshore Action Team, and it is sanctioned by the city. Through the efforts of that, I'm also the chair of that Nearshore Action Team. Through the efforts of that team, we were able to literally hand the Department of Fish and Wildlife a finished product that ultimately became one of the very first pilot projects for marine reserves in the state of Oregon. Additionally, I've worked on the Cascade Head community team to work on the Cascade Head Marine Reserve and have observed its implementation. I've also watched with a great deal of curiosity and amazement at the possibility, the burgeoning industry of ocean power technology through wind energy and wave energy. And it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. So I feel that I have an experiential knowledge that would be beneficial to Ocean Policy Advisory Council, and I already go to all the meetings. I'd like to have a little bit more of a voice than 3 minutes of public comment.
Thank you very much. I don't see any questions for you. I want to compliment you on your dedication to this extremely important policy board. And as I'm sure you know, we have a very active and bipartisan coastal caucus of legislators, so I'm sure you'll be working with them, you probably already are. And in terms of adding your voice, I can compliment you on your voice. You really should be on the radio in addition to everything else that you do.
In another lifetime, I was.
Great. Well, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Catherine Weber to the Oregon Board of Optometry. After we hear from her, please come forward. We'll be hearing next from Kate James. Good afternoon. Thank you
for waiting, Chair.
So patiently.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee. My name is Catherine Weber, and I'm very honored to be considered for the position of public member of the Board of Optometry. My background, very briefly, I used to be a lawyer. I have an MBA. I spent about 40 years working in state government and served in all four branches of government. Public safety is the most important responsibility of the board, and eyesight is a critical function, as I'm realizing more and more as I age. So the board must be responsible, of course, to make sure the professionals are duly licensed, that the rules are there. And then in turn, the board also has to assure the professionals that in actions that are disciplined and other actions, that what goes on is fair and that due process is always followed. I'm now retired and the CEO for something called the Institute to Modernize Government, which is a nonprofit at the Willamette Graduate School of Management. I believe my working knowledge of state government operations and access to academic resources will be very useful to the board. I would be honored to serve on the board.
Great. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
What do you consider the fourth branch of government?
I think that the administration and the executive policy function of government, and I served with Barbara Roberts as policy advisor, I think that's one. And then operations, like working in DAS, is the other.
Okay.
Of the other two, besides judicial and legislative.
I'm a former reporter, and we call ourselves the fourth estate, and I don't remember seeing you in the press room. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. I think you can see looking at us that we are all avid consumers of the services of optometrists. I'm not sure about Senator Ferriero.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Kate James to the State Board of Pharmacy. After we hear from her, we'll be hearing from Alan McAvoy. Good afternoon, and thanks very much for being so patient. And please go ahead and tell us who you are and why you'd like to serve on the State Board of Pharmacy.
Senator Rosenbaum, Chairperson Rosenbaum, Senators, my name is Kate James, and I'm a pharmacist. I love being a pharmacist because I get the opportunity every day to serve patients. I do that in a community setting. I own my own pharmacy in Eugene, Oregon, and I've owned it since 2006. It's been an amazing experience being able to work with patients every day and help them solve medication problems. I want to bring that experience to the Board of Pharmacy, and I look forward to serving the patients of Oregon that way.
Great. Thank you very much. Did we have any questions?
I'd like to give Ms. James an opportunity to plug her pharmacy. What is the name of your establishment?
Broadway Apothecary, and it's a compounding-only pharmacy in Eugene, Oregon.
Great. Great. Thank you very much, and thanks for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Acting on your appointment at the close of the hearing today. I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Alan McAvoy to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board. Next on deck will be Matthew Rozelle. Good afternoon, and I think
by now
you know how we operate here.
I think I do.
So please introduce yourself
and
tell us why you'd like to serve on this board.
Chair Rosenbaum, Senators, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Alan McAvoy, and I'm a physical therapist practicing in the Portland area, and I live in Portland, conveniently. My experiences thus far as a physical therapist have led me into clinical settings such as skilled nursing facilities, acute care, outpatient orthopedics, And currently, I'm for the last 5 years, I work in a home health care capacity, serving elders in the Portland area. And all these experiences together, I believe, would help me to effectively communicate well with the board, as well as members of the community. My interest in serving stems from these experiences that I've had thus far in my career and a desire to serve not only my profession, but the Oregonians who encounter the physical therapy profession. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. Mm-hmm. And any questions? Okay, thanks
all right,
again.
Thank you.
I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Matthew Rizel to the State Plumbing Board. After we hear from him, we'll be hearing from Dorothy Mellon. Good afternoon. Thanks for being so patient.
Well, Senator Rosenbaum and Senators, my name is Matt Rizel. I'm the building official for the city of Happy Valley. I'm honored to be a nominee for the State Plumbing Board, and I look forward to serving our state. I've been involved with the plumbing industry for 20 years, starting as an apprentice plumber. I've worked as a project manager and owned my own business for 5 years before going to work for the city of Happy Valley. I'm also an adjunct professor, adjunct at Clackamas Community College, and I also teach continuing education to plumbers and inspectors. I believe I can bring a unique perspective to the plumbing board through both the building official and other construction industries into the plumbing, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve.
Great. Well, thank you for your willingness to serve. It's obvious that you're extremely busy already, so being on this board will be a great public service.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see any questions, so thank you again.
You.
I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Dorothy Mellon to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners. And after we've heard from her, we'll have a large group for the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. And please go ahead. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good afternoon, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to address you. My name is Dorothy Mellon, and I live in Beaver Creek, Oregon, which is just outside of Oregon City. And I've lived there with my husband and for a while, our two children, for about 23 years. I would like to become a member of the Oregon Board of Psychologist Examiners because I feel that it is important for every profession to be regulated and to be held to higher standards. In my profession as a teacher, and as a supervisor of student teachers, I have dealt with state standards and realized the importance of having educated and competent teachers who will meet those standards. As a public member of the board, I would represent the citizens of Oregon, and I will work to maintain high standards in the psychology profession for the benefit of the citizens of Oregon. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Burdick.
I probably shouldn't ask this because it's such a controversial issue, but have you studied at all the issue of giving psychologists prescribing authority for psychotropic drugs?
No, I have not studied that. But it's a learning opportunity, and as a board member to represent the public, it would be something I would be interested in.
Okay. I'm sure it will come up again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again. And I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Paul Castleberry, Patricia Patrick Drawling, and Tony Sexton to the Board of Public Safety Standards and Training. After that, we'll be hearing from Megan Moyer and Elizabeth Welch. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thank you for waiting so patiently and listening to so many other interesting people. Now we're looking forward to hearing from you. Whichever of you would like to go first.
I'll start. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators. My name is Toni Sexton. I'm the 911's Operations Manager with the City of Portland, and I'm very humbled by this opportunity to be a nominee for the DPSST Board. I've been in the telecommunications field since 1992, where I served as a call taker, dispatcher, lead worker, coach, supervisor, training manager, and lastly, operations manager. As for my educational background, I hold a bachelor's degree from Portland State. I also have a master's from Colorado State University in education. I am certain that my education, along with my experience in training and management, will assist me with DPSST board position, where I'll be part of a team striving to ensure that Oregon citizens receive the best public safety services possible from highly trained professionals who are committed to high performance. Additionally, I have a strong interest in serving our citizens and our public safety communities by ensuring that DPSST's high ethical standards are upheld by all those who are DPSST certified. And so I welcome and recognize I would be charged with important decisions that have an impact on my community, and I'll do my best to serve the state of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. And please go ahead.
Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Paul Castleberry. I've been in the private security industry since 1996. Been volunteering for the policy committee and DPSST since 1997. Serve on the policy committee now for the Private Security Investigators Policy Committee for the last 3 years as the ARB subcommittee chair. And have been nominated to sit on the board, and look forward to the opportunity.
Great, thank you. Please go
ahead. Good afternoon, Senator, Chair Rosenblum and Senators. My name is Patricia Patrick Joling. I'm from Newport, Oregon, Senate District 5. I've lived in Oregon for over 30 years, and I have a owned business, family-owned, operated business in Newport. I am a licensed principal broker with the state of Oregon. I specialize in residential and commercial real estate and property management. I am married. I have two wonderful adult children, one who is proudly serving in the U.S. Marine Corps, and I also have my daughter and my mother in attendance today witnessing these proceedings, and it's been fascinating, so thank you for that. You pretty much have my resume in front of you of what I've done, but I keep hearing this theme of why you want to serve on this board. And as you can tell, I do have a special interest to law enforcement and military. Both my father and my husband honorably served in the military. My father was a former police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department back in the good old days. So I just kind of grew up with law enforcement and military always being a part of my life. And that associated with my activity in my public service with the being on the Newport City Council, working on budgets and other policy issues, you really come to understand how important law enforcement is and making sure you budget properly for that and making sure that the training is there. That is our obligation to citizens of Oregon. So with that, I look forward. I'm honored to be nominated, and I look forward to the appointment, and I promise to give you my 100%.
Great. Well, thank you all three for your willingness to serve, and especially I'm sure your mom and daughter are very proud to be here with you. Welcome to our hearing, too.
Thanks.
And also, we certainly appreciate the service of your son.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions? Okay, thank you all three, and we'll let you go. I'll close the public hearing. Next, I'll open a public hearing on the appointments of Megan Moyer and Elizabeth Welch to the Residential Facilities Advisory Council. After we hear from them, we'll be hearing from Brenda Dennis.
Chair Rosenbaum, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Megan Moyer. I am a native Oregonian, born and raised in Salem, and now live in Portland. I have been working in the area of policy related to long-term care and services to people, seniors and people with disabilities, for over 8 years, and was a vocal supporter of Senate Bill 626, which expanded the purview of the Office of Long-Term Care Ombudsman to include providing advocacy for people with developmental disabilities and mental illness. And so I'm really excited about the opportunity to help the Office of Long-Term Care Ombudsman execute this new mission and provide vital advocacy for communities that have not had it in residential settings.
Great, thank you. And please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee. I'm Judge Betsy Welch. I'm a retired Multnomah County Circuit Court judge. I was, before I retired, the Chief Family and Probate Judge in Multnomah County, and was appointed to both of the interim committees that were charged with the responsibility of putting together a statewide public guardian program. I was the chair of that task force for both the interims and in between and after, and appearing before the legislature. I would be pleased to serve on this on the Residential Facilities Advisory Committee, much in the same way as my partner here, because in the last stages of the development of the proposal for a statewide public guardian, it was decided to house it in the Ombudsman's office. I am one of two governor's appointments for the specific purpose of carrying out that piece of legislation, and I have put many years into this very, very important effort, and would like very much to be involved in having it actually happen. Thank you.
Well, thank you both. Thank you, Judge Welch, and thank you, Megan. Are there any questions? I don't see any. Okay. Thanks again. And I'll close the public hearing and next open a public hearing on the appointment of Brenda Dennis to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers, and then we'll hear from Donald Anway. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thanks for waiting so patiently. Please tell us your name and who you are, why do you like to serve on the State Board of Licensed Social Workers?
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum, Senators. My name is Brenda Dennis. I come from South Salem. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this afternoon and let you know my interest of working on the Board of Licensed Social Workers. I'm not a social worker myself, but my whole professional career has been in human services, starting pretty much from the moment I walked out the doors of Willamette University when I graduated, my first job in my early 20s working in a nursing home, community mental health, the Portland VA working with severely mentally ill veterans, a good long amount of time in the Oregon Department of Corrections, and now the Oregon Health Authority. During all of those times, I've worked really closely side by side with social workers, both in direct service and also in policy and program administration. Social work is a profession that's dear to my heart. I think it's really a profession I have a lot of respect for. Social workers tend to almost always work with folks who are encountering a lot of challenges, either a disability that they're striving to overcome, a lack of resources, any amount of disadvantages. They're really some of the most vulnerable citizens of our state, and I think that social workers uphold a high professional standard and high integrity, and it's my desire to continue to promote that professionalism in social work.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being willing to take on this assignment. Are there any questions? Okay, it looks like you've answered them all, and thanks again for being here. I'll close the public hearing, and next I'll open a hearing on the appointment of Daniel Anway to the Oregon Tourism Commission. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and please go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us why you'd like to serve on the Tourism Commission.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and fellow senators. I'm grateful to be here today with you. My name is Donald Anway, and I'm from Southern Oregon. I live in Medford, Oregon, and have been there for 14 years, originally from Tucson, Arizona, and moved to Oregon and fell in love with it. I am grateful to work for a hospitality company that is growing. We have acquired 2 hotels in the last year, and there's 4 properties. We have the historic property, Ashland Springs Hotel, downtown Ashland. We have the Ashland Hills Hotel that we recently reflagged, Lithia Springs Resort, and in at the Commons. And so I'm grateful to work with Travel Oregon and to be able to promote tourism and to be able to educate our fellow guests on how wonderful it is to come to Oregon and create memories. And so I look forward to that and being able to celebrate Oregon's bounty and creating wonderful memories for our guests.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for traveling all the way from Medford to be here. And before you go, I just wanted to ask you, because I am very familiar with both properties you mentioned. So the Ashland Hills Inn is now in the process of being developed, is that?
It is. We have plans. It's under renovation right now and will open next summer. And we will open another, well, the total rooms will be 230. There's currently 70 that are operating. And we will have open the convention center and another 160 guest rooms.
Excellent. Great to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And I'll close the public hearing and open a public hearing on the appointments of Trigby Bulkin, Carrie Chaffee, Robert Halligan, and Charles Hopewell to the State Workforce Investment Board. And if the four of you would like to come forward and we can pull up an extra chair.
Thank you.
And thank you indeed for waiting so patiently. And this is an extremely important board, one that I have served on myself. And so we're looking forward to hearing from each of you about who you are and why you'd like to serve.
Ladies first, I guess. Thank you. Chair Rosenbaum, committee senators. First of all, thank you. I'm honored to be considered as a nominee and for your attention to my application and consideration of me to serve on this board. I am a resident of West Salem. I work in Corvallis. I am the Human Resources Director for OSU Federal Credit.
I'm sorry, you do need to say your own name first.
Carrie Chaffee.
Great.
Yes. And I work in Corvallis, live here in West Salem. I've been in the human resources profession for 25 years. I have seen firsthand the struggles that employers have finding employees who have the skills, the knowledge, the abilities that we need to fill our workforce. I also see the struggles that our employees have in advancing their careers when they don't have the skills necessary to do the job. I think one of the reasons I want to serve on this board is the most rewarding thing for me in my career in human resources has been when we've been able to hire employees. And when I'm asked what I'm most proud of in my career is the people I've hired in entry-level positions and seeing that they are now vice presidents of corporations, and I would love to be able to serve in that capacity and provide that opportunity for all Oregonians. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Rosenbaum, senators, my name is Trigby Bulkin. I'm a native Oregonian. I live in Bend, Oregon. I'm the HR manager for Bend Research. I've been an HR professional for several years, attended Oregon State University and studied business administration and industrial engineering. I've seen the unique challenges that employers have, particularly on the east side of the mountain, finding skilled employees to fill certain positions. We have a lot of people out there that want to work, but finding the right skill set to meet what we need is sometimes a challenge. And I also agree with my colleague here about continued education for employees so they can advance in their careers. So I think I have a lot of skills that would be beneficial to this board as an employer. And I'm honored to be here today, and thank you for your time. Mm.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name's Bob Halligan. I'm from Eugene.
Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and Senators, for considering my nomination. I'm currently board chair for Lane Workforce Partnership in Eugene, which is the local workforce investment board in Lane County. I've been chair for 2 years, been on the board for about 4 years. The reason I became interested in, and I feel very privileged to serve on that board, is the fact that it is such an effective private-public partnership. And, you know, I've seen too many times where business people stand on the sidelines, criticize the systems, but don't actually participate in trying to connect with our educators and our public partners. And so I'm very, very honored to be on that board, and I think it's a very effective organization. I also am board president for Emerald Valley High Performance Enterprise Consortium, which is a local consortium of organizations pursuing lean manufacturing and lean enterprise service and manufacturing companies. So that's kind of the incumbent workforce training component. Lane Workforce Partnership is job seekers, people looking to improve their job if they're underemployed, as well as youth services. So now I'd be very honored to serve on OWIP to kind of help guide that organization, help the local workforce investment boards improve their efficiencies, improve their best practices sharing, and improve their abilities to work with one another in serving Oregonians. Thank you again for the opportunity. Look forward to it.
Thank you, Mr. Hopewell.
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, thank you very much for considering my nomination. I like my constituents and up here.
If you
Charlie Hopewell, sorry.
Great.
So I, like my other constituents up here, have a long history, and I think that's what's brought me here for this nomination. I have 30-plus years of manufacturing experience here in the state of Oregon, served in multiple sizes of organizations, and our organizations have been lucky enough to touch a broad array of employees throughout the state. I feel as though we, within Oregon, and perhaps nationally, have a very, very important crossroads that we're hitting right now, and I would love to be a part of a group that could actually take advantage of this opportunity to bring education, workforce development, and economic development together. And I hope I get that prior courtesy to serve. So thank you very much.
Great. Well, thank you. Are there any questions for these good folks? Well, thank you all. I think you're going to find serving on the Workforce Investment Board an extremely rewarding assignment, and I really appreciate you all taking your time out of your busy schedules to do it.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks again. I'll close the public hearing, and our last public hearing will be by telephone. I'll open a public hearing on the appointment of Ari Binder to the State Board of Denture Technology. Hello, is this Ari Binder?
Yes, this is. Is this Senator?
This is Senator Diane Rosenbaum. I'm sitting here in the Capitol. You're the last person we're going to hear from. I've just opened a public hearing on your appointment to the State Board of Denture Technology. Here with me is Vice Chair Senator Ted Ferrioli, as well as Senators Lee Beyer and Senator Ginny Burdick. So please say your name for the record. Tell us a little about your background and why you want to serve on the Board of Denture Technology.
All right. Thank you, Chair Rosenbaum and the Senators. My name is Ari Binder. I've been practicing dentistry since 2006, and I went to a kind of a large practice that was over 50% removable, which is, fabricating dentures and partials. Basically, what the Board of Denture Technology does is the denturist fabricates stuff that's removable that comes in and out of your mouth. And then I went, in 2009, I went into business for myself, and I had basically kind of pulled that out of my practice and do fixed dentures, bridges, implants. And so I work with a denturist very closely almost every day. And so I basically feel like I have both aspects of dentistry and, the denturist position, a very good understanding of that. And that's kind of why I feel like I'm good to serve on the Board of Denture Technology.
Great. Okay. Any
questions?
That was great. That was very great.
Very quick. I said to give a brief description.
Yes, and you nailed it.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Any questions for Ari Binder? Okay, I think you've answered all of our questions, so I'll let you go. We'll be acting shortly on your appointment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Okay, have a good day.
And I'll close the public hearing. And is Christian Wolf still here?
Is Kristen Wolf here?
Mm-mm.
Okay, we did have one person signed up for public testimony, but it looks like they could not stay with us. So we will move on to our work session.
Do you want to recess for a moment?
I think we know what we're doing,
okay.
Actually. Yes.
That's
really?
All right. That's
I know. Right. Shocking, right?
We know what Ted's doing.
Okay, so I'll begin by opening a work session and moving the appointment of James Sager to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to the Senate floor with the recommendation that he be confirmed. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Okay, the motion carries. And we do need a carrier for this appointment.
Which one?
This is James Sager. James Sager to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Senator Burdick, I know you have a cold, but would you be willing to carry this?
How many carries are we going to have?
This is the only one we are going to ask you to do.
Oh, so. Okay. So, and the other ones will be done in block?
We have one more separate motion and...
Sure.
Okay, great. So Senator Burdick will carry. I'll close the work session. And next, I will open a work session and move the appointment of Sean Colmer to the Oregon Health Policy Board to the Senate floor with the recommendation he be confirmed. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection?
I object, Madam Chair.
Okay. Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Beyer.
Aye.
Senator Starr.
Excused.
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Farioli.
No.
Senator Rosenbaum.
Aye. Motion carries.
Senator,
comments?
Yes, please. I sort of let that moment pass, but I think for the record people should know that I think this nominee had an opportunity after receiving the very clear and explicit Maximus report to raise red flags in his role as the advisor to the governor on health policy or as his role on the in the management team that helped engineer Oregon healthcare transformation. And he didn't do that. And he clearly doesn't understand the difference between when he is meeting with middle managers who have tremendous peer pressure and tremendous professional consequences for dissent. They did not raise the red flags. They did not dissent. I think he was lied to personally, and I think that as the investigations go forward, we'll find out by whom and for what purposes. But his actions, even in consideration of the Maximus report, led others, including legislators, to continue down a path that led eventually to the expenditure of $270 million, possibly the greatest public policy failure in Oregon. I, in good conscience, I don't see how we can confirm an individual who had the knowledge and the expertise and the ability and the unique position in time and place as the advisor to the governor on, as the deputy chief of policy and programs for the Oregon Health Authority, to let others know that these failures were being documented to him. So I don't know why we would put this person on the Oregon Health Policy Board. It seems to me that it's time for us to step back from just a continuation of the current direction, and this is the current trajectory that led to these failures. I wish I had had a copy of the Maximus report, or you, Madam Chair. I guarantee if we had that information, the outcome would have been different. But I can't support this nomination. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be talking to my colleagues on the Senate about carefully considering whether or not this person should be continue in a position of critical importance in the healthcare profession as an advisor and as a board member.
Thank you for your comments, Senator Farioli. The motion has already been approved,
yes, ma'am.
And so the time for further discussion will be on
the floor.
The floor.
Thank you.
And Senator Beyer, would you be willing to carry this on the floor?
Yes.
Okay, we'll have Senator Beyer carry. I'll close the work session again. And now I'm opening a work session and moving the following appointments and reappointments to the following boards and commissions to the Senate floor with the recommendation that they be confirmed en bloc. Sean Robbins as the Director of the Oregon Business Development Department, Candace Franck to the Oregon Board of Accountancy, Kathleen Jonathan and Mari Watanabe to the Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, Vincent Granato and Mary Rosenblum to the State Aviation Board, Vakatesh Ramakrishnan to the Commission for the Blind, Mariana Lindsay to the Construction Contractors Board, Lindsay McGrath and Don Thompson to the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, Amy Fine, Alton Harvey, and Gary Underhill to the Oregon Board of Dentistry, Ari Binder to the State Board of Denture Technology, Sarah Taylor to the State Board of Direct Entry Midwifery, Jerome Colonna to the State Board of Education, Robert Stewart to the Oregon Educators Benefit Board, Sarah Cromwell to the Employment Appeals Board, Daniel Golden to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Lisa Graham, David Nelson, Emily Pleck, and Shay Washington to the State Board of Higher Education, Jennifer Coakley to the Home Care Commission, Melissa Cribbins and Robin MacArthur to the Land Conservation and Development Commission, Daniel Pippenager to the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots, Sean Carey, Matthew Storm, and Jennifer Woolley to the Nursing Home Administrators Board, Lauren Goddard and Robin Hartman to the Ocean Policy Advisory Council, Catherine Weber to the Oregon Board of Optometry, Beth Biggs to the Oregon Patient Safety Commission Board of Directors, Kate James to the State Board of Pharmacy, Alan McAvoy to the Physical Therapist Licensing Board, Matthew Rozell to the State Plumbing Board, Patricia Bjorquist and Dorothy Mellon to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners, Kent Barker, Larry Blanton, Brian Berger, Paul Castleberry, Alex Gardner, Patricia Patrick Joling, Colette Peters, Larry Scruggs, Tony Sexton, and Matthew Workman to the Board on Public Safety Standards and Training, William Bard, Daniel Dunham, Megan Moyer, and Elizabeth Welch to the Residential Facilities Advisory Council, Brenda Dennis to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers, Wendy Gunter, Jenny Price, Anna Sanger-Reed, Gail Swanstrom, and Jean Verhaeden to the State Board of Examiners for Speech, Language, Pathology, and Audiology, Jeffrey Matsumoto, Marty Perez, to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, Donald Anway and Alana Hewson to the Oregon Tourism Commission, Catherine Mader and Orlando Simpson to the Oregon Transportation Commission, Sally Curry, and Judy Johnson to the Workers' Compensation Board, Carol Duncan to the Workers' Compensation Management Labor Advisory Committee, and Tringby Bolkin, Carrie Chaffee, Robert Halligan, and Charles Hopewell to the State Workforce Investment Board. Is there any discussion? Members, that was a long group of people, and a few of them are still here, and I know that if Senator Bruce Starr were here, he would compliment everyone who appeared before us today for an incredibly impressive and talented group of individuals who have traveled from far and wide, taken time out of extremely busy professional careers and personal lives to serve the state of Oregon. This is one of the most important parts of state government. It really is an honor and a privilege to be able to hear from you and to act on these appointments. Seeing no further discussion, is there any objection to the motion? Motion carries, and we do need to assign a carrier. I think it is the chair's turn to actually carry this en bloc motion. So, Senator Farioli, unless you want to wrestle me for it.
Madam Chair, the great tragedy is that Senator Starr, who is not at the meeting here today, will also not be on the floor tomorrow. Otherwise, he could have the honor.
Indeed, he could, but he won't. So the chair will carry this en bloc motion on the floor. I'll close the work session. Members, with nothing further to come before us today, we are adjourned.